Changing World. Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Life Changes with your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I am so excited to say that we've got a great guest today, and he will be talking about his great movie that I actually have not had the privilege of seeing yet, but I've heard so much about it from so many people that I just knew that we had to have this filmmaker on our show, and that filmmaker is Peter Roger. But before we bring him on, I wanted to let everybody know how successful I am. I am so successful. I am so great at manifesting. And so why would I start the show off like this? Well, because I was wondering, why do I work so hard? And why have I still not achieved what I want to achieve? And if this law of attraction and if this manifestation stuff really works, then why is this show not on TV 5 days a week yet? Why do we not have the biggest audience possible yet? Well, because I am so successful and because I am so great at manifesting. That is the answer. Now, you might wonder, that doesn't sound like the answer you think I would say. Well, I started to really think about this stuff. And this is a conclusion that I came to. Many years ago, when I was a lot younger, things would just happen to me. I would find things. People would find me. People wanted to help me. Things just came easily. Life wasn't a dream. I had my difficulties, and I certainly didn't recognize how sometimes I wanted something and it would just manifest. For example, I think I've talked about on the air, certainly at live shows, how I wanted a piano, but my parents couldn't afford to give me one. Oh yes, I did talk about this, but in a different vein a couple shows ago. My parents couldn't afford to give me one, which ended up being a blessing, but besides that, nobody in my family ever received a gift that big. There were four of us children. Our parents never spent that much money on any of us kids, and of course, I wasn't going to get it anyway. I wasn't the oldest, I wasn't the youngest, I wasn't the girl, I was just me, and me didn't get things according to the law of the way my family worked. But I ended up getting a piano, and a very, very nice piano. And everybody just marveled at the fact that how come Filippo gets everything he wants? Which was odd to me because there was so much more that I wanted. And my parents, my sister especially, and my mother used to say to other people, to themselves, to other members of the family, and to me, Filippo has the magic touch. Everything Filippo gets, he wants. Filippo is lucky. Things come easily to Filippo. And they used to say that quite often. And for the most part, so much of that was true. And I used to get so upset. I used to say, no, they don't. No, it doesn't. I work really hard for everything I have. I am such a hard worker. Things do not come easily to me. I can't believe how hard I work to get things that I want. And finally, I have arrived. I am a success. The law of manifestation has manifested for me a life of working very hard to get anything that I want. It's been like pulling teeth to move things forward. Why? Because of this law of attraction. I have been using it against myself for years and didn't even know it. I have been manifesting against myself for years to my own detriment. because I wanted to prove to people that I worked really hard. And I think nowadays, were I to have all the things that I want easily and effortlessly, I could do so much more good, not only for myself, but for so many other people. And it's time that I change this mantra that I have. And if people want to say things come easily to Filippo, I want to be right there with them saying, yes, they do. Things just manifest in my life like magic. Things just happen. I have the Midas touch. Absolutely. Believe what you want. Help me believe it. And maybe, just maybe, we can turn this around together and create an environment where things just happen for Filippo all over again. Especially since the things I want for Filippo and for the show and for our team and for everybody is something that's good for everybody. I just want what's good. What's so hard and what's so wrong about it just happening? And so, I have been very successful in manifesting and creating a life for myself that is very difficult, that is cumbersome, that is laborious to get what I want. And so I appreciate the law of attraction. I am grateful for it. I am grateful for the fact that I've learned this lesson, and thankfully I've learned it now and not later. And I have the rest of my life now to attract things in my life easily and effortlessly, joyously and abundantly for the good of all. So with that, I am so happy that we have a filmmaker who I hope and I trust will allow the abundance of people to come to see the film effortlessly and easily, this film that is called Oh My God. Oh My God. Let me tell you a little bit about the filmmaker. His name is Peter Roger, and he grew up through a camera lens, looking through a camera lens. As a teenager, the award-winning British director honed his skills by assisting his father, George Roger, the renowned photojournalist and co-founder of Magnum Photos. After completing his education at England's Maidstone College of Art, his skill with the lens made him one of the most sought-after talents in the European and United States advertising industry, shooting numerous car, clothing, and cosmetic companies' print and commercial campaigns in over 40 different countries. Peter has exhibited his fine artwork all over the world and has won numerous awards for his filmed work, including several Telly Awards. Peter has penned 7 screenplays, including Bystander, to be shot in 2010, Comfort of the Storm, entering pre-production this fall, and Publication Day, which is in development. And after 2.5 years of filming across 23 countries, Peter has just completed producing and directing the epic nonfiction documentary film entitled Oh My God, which explores people's diverse opinions and perceptions of God. So please welcome to our show, Peter Roger.
Thank you very much, Filippo.
It's great to have you with us.
It's a great pleasure being here.
You are so busy these days, traveling all around and doing so many TV and radio spots promoting the film, which opens this Friday. And it's so exciting. All I did was see a trailer, and I just knew this was something that we wanted to participate in and help bring out. Tell me that other people are feeling this as well.
You know what, Filippo, I'm on a cell phone, so it's very difficult hearing you. Would you mind repeating what you just said, sir?
I said, tell me that other people are feeling like they want to get behind this.
Oh, I really think so. You know, I mean, the thing is, so much has happened in the last 18 months, especially in the Western world. You know, the economic crisis has made people really look at themselves and look at their relationship with who they are, who their parents are, and, you know, their grandparents, might be losing their retirement funds and stuff like that. So I think it's a time of change, and really it's a time to look at ourselves and our relationship with our friends and our family and everything. So this film is just another way to do that, because this extends us to look at human beings' relationship with this entity that goes by the name of God, which seems to be so personal and so ingrained in upbringing, etc. So I think it's very timely, and I think that it's exactly needed right now for a film like this to come out.
The title is just so perfect, and for those who haven't had the benefit of seeing the trailer, could you tell us a little bit about the concept of the film?
Yeah, I mean, I was very frustrated by the childish schoolyard mentality that seems to permeate this world. I call it the "my God is greater than your God" syndrome.
You know, where you have, "my God can beat up your God."
Yeah, my God beat up your God, etc. Yeah, it's not healthy. You know, where you have you know, what happened on 9/11, where you have young men, young women blowing themselves up and innocent others to buy themselves a place into heaven. You know, where you have the leader of the free world who said in 2003 to the BBC that he invaded Iraq because God told him to. So I decided that this was a little bit crazy in this world of communication, understanding, you know, telephones, internet, TV, radio, your show, everything, that the world seems to be so divided. So I decided to go around the world and ask people what this entity that goes by the name of God means to them.
Hmm. And so what you got was a lot of different answers, and yet there was a thread.
Out of the answers, we get diversity. We learn different cultures. We learn about other religions. We learn about how other people lead their lives from different sides of the world. And by doing that, it creates a discussion. And that discussion hopefully opens our hearts, maybe, to understand how other cultures exist. And that can perhaps, maybe, just lead to some form of tolerance.
Well, there was an underlying theme, though, which I think is interesting, that seemed to be in every religion. At least that's what I got from reading the literature, right?
Yeah, there is an underlying theme. And I think that human beings are fundamentally cool. There are great similarities in this world between human beings. It's when groups of people are politicized for other nefarious agendas that we seem to get trouble, where you have one group saying that you can't be a member of the club unless you do X, where you have another group that says unless you do Y, you know, Z is not going to happen, and so on and so forth. But across the world, there seems to be so much unity. It's just we're blind to it because good news is no news. We only hear on the news about people blowing people up and this and that and wars and conflict. We don't hear about all the good things that people do anymore. So part of what comes out of the film is an exploration of this, you know, this problem, if you like. And I did find that there was an awful lot of wonderful traits that is common to all of us on this earth, and it's just it doesn't come out most of the time.
You know, it's interesting. When you and I spoke before, we were talking about how whether it's you know, the Bible or the Quran, or that there are some characteristics that are present in all of them. And it was interesting to hear you to say them, and that they were all the same. And so you were saying people should just read their text.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you are religious, read your book. Don't rely on other human beings telling you what to do or interpreting that book, which is available to you, for you. And also, let's look at the sort of the hubbub of conflict, if you like, the three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. I mean, if you are Jewish, you have the Ten Commandments, a wonderful thing to understand and read. And it is very, very similar, if you are Muslim, to the five pillars of Islam, which say basically the same thing in different words. And then if you're a Christian, you also recognize the First Testament. And then in the New Testament, of course, you have Jesus Christ and his Sermon on the Mount. And I think those three areas of the three holy books kind of sum it up. They're all very, very similar. It's just the politics that seems to get in the way later on in man's interpretation. And this doesn't only exist to the three monotheistic religions. It goes right the way back through history into indigenous ideologies and paganism and the aboriginals and North American Indian culture, etc. We are all very, very similar. So why not get on with each other instead of saying my God is greater than your God and battling each other and having conflict?
And what you were saying was to focus on a handful of things that all of these religions had in common, and that was respect and love, and what were the other ones?
Well, basically, treat your neighbor like you treat yourself, want to be treated yourself, charity, respect to your body, respect for the earth, and just basically a great code of practice of how to conduct yourself. I mean, look at it. Let's take it like this. I think we're very primitive little organisms on a big rock in a scary vacuum. We're driven by fear. We don't know where we came from. We're not really sure what happens when we die. There's one thing for sure that happens when we die. Our body rots. The rest is speculation. And so I think that we're desperately, human beings are, desperately trying to find something to hold on to. And my point with this film is that you can hold on to something without pushing other people away. And that's the way forward, and that's what we have to do.
You know, you did something really interesting. You showed this in Israel, right?
Yeah, I launched it at the Jerusalem International Film Festival last July.
And tell us about who was in the audience and what started to happen that you noticed.
Well, first of all, you can't make a film about what people think about God without going to the Holy Land. So it actually shot in Jerusalem and the Palestinian territories. This is a very charged part of the world, as we all know. It seems to be under the microscope as far as religious conflict is concerned. What is very, very evident about the difficulties in the Middle East is that it is a conflict of money, of land, and emotion. So what you have when you're on the ground, when you're there, and you talk to Israelis and you talk to Palestinians on a base level, on a human level, is very different from what you might feel from the politicized rhetoric that you hear in the news. And so I was very happy that when I launched the film over at the festival that there were Palestinians and Israelis in the audience, and of course there is a whole segment devoted to that part of the world, and the Israelis were happy with it and the Palestinians were happy with it. And that to me is a great blessing because hopefully, you know, we get something right. And everybody wants peace. Nobody really wants to have conflict and live under the threat of Katyusha rockets or that they're going to be blown up by the Israeli army. I mean, the point is that everybody in the base level wants to have some idea of peace amongst themselves. And this is an opportunity for people to bring the subject up, to go and see this film, and to discuss it amongst themselves, invite others from different religious doctrines in themselves, and discuss it, because out of that discussion can come understanding, and out of understanding can come tolerance.
You know, Peter, it's interesting you're asking people to do the very one of two things that we are taught never to do, and that is to...
At a party, right?
Right. If you're at a party, you're actually anywhere amongst friends. I think in Italian there's a saying, if you want to keep your friends, don't talk about politics or religion.
Yeah, I'm asking you to do the opposite. I'm saying it's time to do that now. I'm saying have that discussion, but do it in terms of love and compassion and understanding, and not in terms of ego.
You know, it's interesting. As a child, I contemplated this a little bit, and I remember when questioning the religion that I was being brought up with at the time, which happened to be Catholic, I would say there are billions of people that believe something else. You know, it's not like one other person that's out there by himself. Billions. How could we be the only ones that are right? Of course, you know, there are... It just baffled me at the time, and I really haven't thought much about it since, and you're making me think again.
Well, good. I hope I make a lot of people think again, because I think it's time that we decided to take responsibility for who we are as human beings and how we conduct our lives and how we treat other people.
Well, so here we are. You are asking us to have this conversation, and what you're hoping that comes out of this conversation is basically tolerance.
Yeah, that was the motivating factor for me to go around the world and ask this question. From atheists, from religious people, from non-religious people, from agnostics, from spiritual people, to swamis, to indigenous populations, to different cultures, to different countries, to different plains and mountains and seas and whatever else. Diversity.
And what I thought you were suggesting earlier and definitely got out of our conversation before the show here was that religion was never meant to be used against people, and that we have been manipulated perhaps to fight in the name of God when that's not written in any of the holy texts. So you're asking us to look at that and do what? I know you made the point, but I really want to bring it home because it's important to me.
Well, I think the point is that holy war is a contradiction in terms. And there is no religion and there are no prophets that ever say that you should kill another man. It just doesn't exist. It's twisted by those who have nefarious agendas. And I think that it's up to the individual to be more responsible. And one of the things that we discussed, and I think is important to bring up here again, is that, is there any hope for that? Well, I think there is, because as somebody says in the film, Chandi Duke Hefner, she's a philanthropist. She helps and saves thousands of people's lives with her own money. But she says, look, if each one of us individually did one kind act to somebody else each day, it will change the course of things, and it'll make a huge difference worldwide. And I use the analogy like, if everybody in China, 1.3 billion of them, jumped up and down at the same time, it would cause a 7.9 Richter scale earthquake. And if each one of us just did a little bit, then it'll change the lilt, it'll change the balance of something negative into something more positive. And not only would the people that we help be happier, but we ourselves, because we gave that out, would be happier as well. And so I think that's what we and our social responsibility is all about.
Well, you mentioned somebody who's in the film, and obviously I didn't see all these people in the trailer, but I see in the media kit here that David Copperfield is in the film, Dr. John F. DeMartini, Sir Bob Geldof, Hugh Jackman, Baz Luhrmann, Her Royal Highness Princess Michael of Kent, the singer Seal is in the film, and Jack Thompson and several others of course as well. How are they contributing, and what do they contribute to the film, since I haven't had the benefit of seeing it and so many people haven't?
Well, the film, what I didn't do is put many professional God people in the film, and that is like religious leaders, because of course that would be having people touting a party line. And so it's really a film about the people. But I also wanted to have familiar faces in there, because to hear what a familiar face has to say on a very personal level about something that probably a lot of us have thought about but not too much, i.e. what we think of God, is quite fascinating. And what these celebrities do is to sort of help the audience through in a very, very heavy situation to hear what a household name feels about something that is deeply personal. And actually what they have to say is amazing. I mean, you've got Bob Geldof, who is an absolute atheist and doesn't believe in God whatsoever. You have Ringo Starr, who says some very poignant things in the film, which is very well worth going to see the film just to hear what he has to say. You have David Copperfield, who talks about the fact that he's an illusionist and that the first religious leaders were illusionists just like him, and that, he does believe in a higher power. He does believe in God. And, he even admits that if he wasn't, as honorable as he might be, and he lived at a different time, he could have probably invented his own religion because of the skills that he has. Because in parenthesis, he could maybe prove the existence of God and manipulate people. And so you have all these fascinating facets from individuals who are very well known, and it helps the story along because suddenly up crops a famous face and they're talking about something which maybe a lot of us have questioned.
That's really interesting. Yet another reason why I can't wait to see the film. I'd like to remind everybody that they're listening to Life Changes and that we're talking to filmmaker Peter Roger and his film, Oh My God. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and if you want to learn more about the film and about our show, of course, you can go to www.lifechanges.ws. And to learn more immediately about this film, which comes out this Friday, you could go to www.ohmygodmovie, or is it omgmovie.com?
Actually, yeah, Filippo, it's omgmovie.com.
Right, and it stands for Oh My God, so a way to remember that, omgmovie.com. And one of the things that I've heard about, and I haven't seen, obviously, yet, is that there are interviews with children in a cancer ward or something like that. That touched me. What's that about?
Well, because I think really, if you want to look at what this entity that goes by the name of God, are you hearing me okay? Because I'm getting some weird noises down my end. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're hearing you as best we can, so let's carry on.
So what happens, you know, if you want to look at what God is, I think, is look at the light in a child's eye. When a child is born and it starts to learn and navigate through life, it doesn't have any discrimination. The first time it learns to, or he or she starts to walk, it's related to everybody else, you know, that they're playing with. You know, it doesn't matter the color of the skin, it doesn't matter they're female, male, or they're disabled, or whatever. There is no discrimination. It's when they grow up and, you know, they learn other things that these kind of traits come out. So I thought, well, we all know that spark of humanity in a child's eye. What about a child that is actually facing death? How does that change things, perhaps? And what kind of perspective and what can we learn from that? So I went to a cancer hospital. I interviewed kids with leukemia. And it was a very harrowing, but very enlightening experience. And there was, you know, three children that I interviewed, and one of them, Christian Hernandez, was particularly sick. He didn't really know whether he was going to survive. I have to say very happily that he had a bone marrow transplant, and he's doing very, very well, thank you very much, to modern technology and medicine. But at the point in the film when I interviewed him, he really had no idea whether he was going to make it or leave us. And so I asked some poignant questions, and the answers to those blew me away. It was quite the most poignant part in the film for me, having traveled to 23 different countries, just finding what this little boy facing these challenges has to say on the subject.
Mm.
And it's very, very moving indeed. So that's why I did it. And you know what? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that he says. It's worth seeing the film just to find out how he answers a specific question. It's very touching.
Hmm. You're going to leave us with that cliffhanger, are you?
I am, of course. I don't want to give the ending of the film away.
Well, you know, actually, I hope you don't feel that this is giving it away. Actually, I'm not, because it's in the trailer, but one of the things that really opened my eyes, of course I know this, I've watched the news before, I've talked to people, and I said earlier that I haven't thought about this since then. What I meant was I haven't thought about it that way since I was a child, but certainly I've contemplated God and religion and all of that, and talked to many of people, even though politics and religion is what one supposedly is not supposed to do. But like you say, now is the time for a new paradigm. But one of the comments that was made by one of the people on the film, when he said, I like the Muslims, or I love the Muslims, I want to introduce them to Christ, something like that.
Yeah, well, he's an evangelist, and that's what he believes is his life mission, is to convert people to Christianity.
Hmm.
I know, it's a fact of life of, you know, this is my club. You know, I love you as people, but you better come and join my club, otherwise you're going to go to hell.
Hmm.
And this is something that, unfortunately, is people say every day. And I don't find that particularly tolerant, personally.
You know, it's interesting. You're making this conversation makes me recall an incident with someone who is or was at the time very, very, very close to me, who decided that they did not want to be close to me anymore because of my questioning of religion and my lifestyle in their opinion and certain beliefs that I had. And so this person chose not to speak to me ever again. And I was very bitter about it for a very long time, years. As a matter of fact, tried to call this person, and this person actually hung up on me. I just didn't understand why somebody would think that way. And then I figured it out. Well, that's the way they are, because they believe this, and their lifestyle is this. And so then I had all of the opposite things against this person. And so I started to believe all these terrible things about this person. And it finally dawned on me years later that I was doing the exact same thing that he was doing. And if I really looked at him and his life the way I knew it to be from what others had told me, he had a wonderful family, a beautiful house, a great job. He was an outstanding member of the community where he lived. And I could go on and on about the wonderful things about this person's life. And it finally dawned on me that the prejudices that I was holding against the beliefs that he had, whether it was a different religion or what have you, and the prejudices that he had against mine were what was keeping us apart. But in reality, we were both wonderful people, and that's all I wanted him to recognize, is that I'm a wonderful person. Why are you this way? Ah, because you believe that. So I started thinking of this person, and I said, you know what? Bless you. Bless you and your family and your house and your community and your religion, because you are out there doing good things. And for some reason, we don't see eye to eye at the moment, but I love you and I bless you, and so it is. So it was a learning for me, but I will say in conclusion of this story that in less than a week, this person called me to make amends after I had had that thought. So obviously this brings to mind that all these other things are happening, and that, you know, thoughts are things, and there's energy or what have you. But when I just did that alone, I was happy with that alone. And then it just got better from there. And can't we all be doing that?
I think that's a perfect example of how you can change things around just by, you know, your attitude. It backs up what Chandy Duke Hefner says in the film about doing one kind act every day. Imagine the power of that. Imagine the power of all of us consciously going out and forgiving those who, you know, decided they didn't like us because of what the color of our skin or what club we belong to. Just imagine the power of just going out and being loving all the time. I mean, I think there's no accident that you reconciled with this individual at all. I think it's actually the law of the universe, and you were talking about attraction earlier, and that's a specific example of how that can work.
Right. That's why this film can have such an impact. And again, I have not seen it, but I had this feeling that it would be exactly how you're talking about it. Obviously, the little boy was a surprise to you. Were there any surprises along the way to you as well, whether while you were filming it or when it was done or audiences' reactions, anything surprising you?
What did surprise me, which I briefly touched on before, was the difference between the perception of life on the ground level when you talk to somebody eye to eye, and how that perception is translated through groups and through media, and that one thing that might seem one way because of what you hear on the news doesn't have any bearing on what the reality of that situation or how that is on the ground level. And that it was a huge surprise, specifically in politically charged places. And I found also a surprising amount of respect that I had for humanity after making this film. People fundamentally have a lot of good in them. It's very hard for it to come out. And we're conditioned, actually, to act in so many different ways that we really need to look at ourselves objectively, maybe just stand back from ourselves a little bit and work out how we do react to our environment and to other people and what our role in life is. Is it to grab and to push people under, or is it to give and learn how to receive, not to take?
You know, Peter, you touched on this just a little bit at the very beginning, saying that the economy being the way it is and people losing their income and houses and all that. But besides the current economic quote-unquote crisis and all of that, why in this time of civilization do you think this is the time to talk about this? Because frankly, this is a conversation that, or a war, or an argument, if you will, that has been had since what probably is the beginning of time of civilization.
Yeah, I don't know I'm qualified to answer that question. All I know is that if we have the power of communication, and I have what's known as a camera, and I have what's known as cinemas and movie theaters and soon DVDs and internet, and that is a powerful tool. It's much better to use that tool for things that promote tolerance than those that promote conflict. Maybe that's why it's coming to a time, because it's the first time technologically that we're able to reach out to people on a big scale and make them understand things from different perspectives. You can go into history and you can look at the Hindus, and that we're in the period of Kali Yuga, which is like it's rather like a period of confrontation and lies. You can look at the Bible and see that maybe we're in the period of the last days. I don't know. You can interpret any way you want. I don't really think it matters. What does matter is our intention. And my intention is to try and reach out to people and to express the beauty of this planet. And that's what I did with my camera and the tools that I had, and to have a message of understanding of different cultures in the hope that we are entering a time that we have more power to change people's perspective into a more positive place.
You know, Peter, I saw a movie a few years back about religion, and one of the things that baffled me, and I wonder if anybody touched on this or what your feelings are on this regarding religion. I saw in this movie about several different religions a lot of people spending a lot of time, what looked like most of their life, giving to God, and so living like a monastic sort of life. And I'm not saying that one shouldn't do that, but I have to question a God, since that's the conversation that we're having, that would allow that and or want that. And my thought was, say you and I were friends, which I have a feeling we're going to be, so I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but say I gifted you a trip to Bali or something in the most beautiful resort there is, you and your wife, and you went and you called me 24 hours a day, and you stayed on the phone with me telling me how beautiful it was. Well, how could you be enjoying the gift that I gave you if you're on the phone with me 24 hours?
Listen, that's a great answer to that. Not the ultimate answer, but it brings up a thought. One of the most wonderful people I interviewed in this film is Kunjo Tanaka, who is a Zen master, and I found him in his temple in Kyoto in Japan. And it was one of the most vibey, beautiful places you could possibly go to. As soon as you entered in there, you just felt this amazing sense of peace. And he said to me, first of all, he said it to me over tea, and he said it in the film. He says, listen, we're already in paradise. Hmm. We're here because we've already been saved. We've already bought ourselves from all the time before our place here today, and it is our responsibility to accept paradise and understand it and appreciate it. He said, but also this life can be hell. But it's the perception of the individual as to whether it's hell or whether it's paradise. And I said, well, that's all very well, but what if you're a paraplegic on the 23rd floor, it's raining outside, the children are on welfare, and you don't have any means to buy them? I don't really see that. That's paradisical. And he said, well, that's the interpretation that you're instilling. And Then he went on to explain how he works with people who have cancer or have difficulties or are disabled or feel that they're in hell, and then twist that hell to the perception and understanding that really they are in paradise. And so basically, to sum that up, you know, we're in a beautiful, on a beautiful earth. Let's appreciate it. And let's appreciate it by accepting it and loving it and pushing that thought out and sharing it with others and not, you know, being beaten up about it all the time, because it's very, very easy, especially in these days, like I mentioned at the beginning of this interview, to get really, you know, upset about the economy and our days and this and worries and everything. But just step back and enjoy it just for a second. And as you say, don't be on the phone all the time. Just breathe. And I think Tanaka really summed that up, and I love the whole philosophy of Zen because of that.
You know, I'm obviously getting a feel for you through this and of you through this conversation that we're having, and the interview that we had before the show, and from what I'm learning about the movie and reading about you. Now, I know you have several other movies coming up, like Bystander and Comfort of the Storm and Publication Day. Are you going to tell me that those are like murder mystery movies or, you know?
No. I'm very into doing drama, though, Filippo, and that's going to be my next film. And they're actually all of them in intense dramas one way or another, which have good messages in them. And, you know, Oh My God was a very, very long, lengthy, non-fiction treatise, if you like, on what people think God is. And now it's I'm a storyteller, so I'm looking forward to making these deeply visual, dramatic non-fiction movies now. So,
okay.
But no, they're not beat you up, you know, violent.
Not full of negative messages, I hope.
No, they're all full of very positive messages.
Okay. Well, I believe you, and I look forward to those. But in the moment, we've got Oh My God, this film that I can't wait to see, and it opens up Friday here in Los Angeles and in other parts of the country. So go to omgmovie.com to learn more about it. You know, it has been said, I don't know exactly the phrase, that anything that man can believe, he can achieve. So my hope and trust is that your belief in spending so much time and energy and money and brain power and all that's required to make a film, period, in something like this, that you believed that there is hope for humanity, that there is hope for oneness and tolerance, like you suggest. And so my trust is that you can achieve that through this, and we all can achieve that through this. How does that feel?
Oh, yeah, you made me feel good, Filippo, and I really, really appreciate those words, because it was a long battle, and I hope it's going to pay off, and I rely on people like you to spread the word, and I hope people go and see the film, and I look forward to maybe talking about it again with you, and all of the above. So, you know, thank you very much for spending your energy and your time talking with me.
Well, Peter, it has been a great pleasure. Thank you for, I know, on your during this busy time of promotion, for being with us. We've been talking to filmmaker Peter Roger and about the film Oh My God, that you could learn more about at www.omgmovies.com. Thank you, Peter. Have a great evening.
Yeah, thanks, Filippo. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.
This has been so exciting. And talk about life changes, huh? I mean, a movie like this could really change life for so many people and the world. So I hope that we follow the call to action and see what this movie is all about and draw our own conclusions. At the moment, we have our very own Dorothy Lee, who is going to be addressing the state of the universe.
Hi. Thank you, Peter, for being our guest tonight. I saw that there was a quote by Ringo Starr, and I feel he really got it right in your movie. God is love. That is wonderful. I can't wait to see the movie. It's interesting to me that Filippo covered one of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight, and that is being in the present moment. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you've heard talk about the power of the attitude of gratitude. Many of my clients tell me how grateful they truly are, and then they say things like this: I can't wait for my new car, or I can't wait for my mansion, my divine compliment, my perfect job. I can't wait. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a new car or a mansion, a rewarding relationship, or a perfect job. However, the more we want something, the more we push it away. However, if we change our words to, I have an awesome car, a wonderful place to live, a mutually beneficial, passionate relationship, etc., etc., etc. And if we want to attract all of our highest and best good into our lives, we simply must practice awareness and tune into our thoughts, words, beliefs, and feelings. By changing the old negative thought patterns, we become the conscious co-creators we've come here to be. We also need to understand the power of the attitude of gratitude and put it into work in our daily practices. We must be willing to find all of the good in our present circumstances and give gratitude for the many perfect things already in our life. If you're willing to do this, then soon you too can live a five-star life. Betty Mahalik tells you how in her beautiful book, Living a Five-Star Life. She challenges all of us to live a great life by discovering the life we have right now instead of trying to invent a whole new life. This little book has more wisdom, common sense, and inspiration than any I've read in a long time. Today I'd like to share her chapter titled, My Life Would Be Perfect If. In this day and age, we're surrounded by messages that virtually scream, your life would be perfect if. My life would be perfect if I had a different job, a different house, car, nose, spouse, bank account. Just fill in the blank. Or my life would be perfect if I could be like some celebrity whose life appears so well ordered and perfect. This week, I encourage you to stop playing My Life Would Be Perfect If and start playing My Perfect Life. What's the difference? Three things: being in the present, an attitude of gratitude, and taking action with what is available right now. When we're caught up in the My Life Would Be Perfect If trap, we've lost touch with the present. And the moment we detach from the present, we can no longer practice gratitude. Think about it. It's difficult to be grateful for what you don't have, and what you don't have is always somewhere out in Futureville. Look around you right now. Think of 10 things you're grateful for. Do you have a roof over your head and food to eat? I'm guessing the answer is yes. Do you have at least a few good friends or close relationships? Then appreciate them too, right now. Keep going and practice being in the present and being grateful for what is here and now at least a couple of times a day. You're also probably sitting there thinking, yes, but I want more money, a better relationship, more time to travel, to be thinner, happier, or whatever. It's one of the great mysteries I'll never figure out. The minute you stop focusing on what you lack, start focusing on what you've already got and add the magic ingredient of action. You actually begin to attract more of what you want. It's an amazing formula for really living your perfect life. Let's say you want to lose weight or get in better shape, but you don't have an hour a day to spend exercising at the gym. Therefore, you're pretty well resigned yourself to not losing weight or getting in shape. What if you had 5 minutes, though? Just about everyone can find 5 minutes to exercise, stretch, walk around the block, or walk the dog. Would you be willing to be grateful for 5 minutes and make the best possible use of it? Therein lies the beginning of your perfect life. A simple formula may help you remember how to apply this principle. The present plus an attitude of gratitude plus positive action equals my perfect life. Try it for a day. Each time you start dreaming about how perfect your life would be if, come back to this moment, give thanks for what is, and do one thing to perfect what you have and who you are right now. There's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. If you're ready to start perfecting your life, your teachers are all around you. What are you waiting for? I want to thank this author for this beautiful book and her allowing me to share this with you. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been looking for. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making truly elegant choices. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dorothy. And yes, that is very interesting that without us having talked about it, I ended up talking about this at the beginning of the show. And here we are at the end of the show talking about the same thing. And we've talked about so many wonderful things today. I actually can't wait to hear the show again myself, and I encourage all of you who got something out of this, or if you didn't get all that you wanted or want to share this with other friends, do go to our website at www.lifechanges.ws, as in dot website, and listen to it again. And there, of course, you could listen to any of our other guests as well. I want to thank again our guests today, Peter, Roger, and the fact that we talked about his movie, Oh My God, which I can't wait to see and encourage all of you to see as well, because I'm thinking it's going to be just exactly everything we've talked about. Our next guest is a really interesting character, actually. He manages Sevular, that's kind of like several, popular websites online, and he has courses in which he teaches transformation and how to build a new paradigm for our planet. However, what's interesting to me about him is that his background is having been for 18 years a language interpreter for hundreds of fascinating individuals from all walks of life, including such notable figures as Clinton and George W. Bush, Gore, and Cheney. So he was privy to a lot of secrets, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what he is going to share with us, because his website seemed to go pretty deep on helping us create and transform our new planet and build a new paradigm around it. So it's going to be a show not to miss, and I'm excitedly looking forward to it. Remember, keep the conversation going during the week with your friends and family and with us at our website, again, and also on our Face pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. And to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service today by hosting Life Changes. So with that, I, along with our producers, Dorothy Lee and Mark Leisure, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechanges.ws. And that's with Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O, and follow our community on Facebook at lifechanges.ws. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.